Mongol Rally is an adventure charity event that starts in Europe and ends in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. Among this year's 300 participants was Otto Ulch Jr., the son of Czech exile writer Otto Ulch, Nick Jarrett, both from New York, and Prague local Karel Vančura. The team covered the 10,000 miles from the Czech Republic to Mongolia in a Renault Kangoo, helping to raise money for UNICEF and the Lotus Children's Center Charitable Trust. I called Otter in New York to talk about the Mongol Rally experience.
The Mongol Rally was established by two English gentlemen who, back in 2003, saw a dilapidated car on the streets of Prague and decided to buy it. And then they decided to one-up each other to say how far could they go. One said, well, you know, with this car, maybe we could make it to Slovakia. I said, well, you know, maybe we could make it to Ukraine. And soon they decided that they would drive that car to Mongolia and see if it would make it, sort of an insane bet with each other. And they jumped in the car with no preparation, no map, nothing, no visas, and simply just drove all the way till they got to Mongolia. When they arrived at the border, and the Mongolians very kindly told them, it's very nice that you come to visit us, but for the fact you don't have visas, please go home. So they drove home. And the entire trip took them several months, and they began to be so fascinated by this thought of going to places where people normally don't go. And what they established was a group called the Adventurists, where that they offer a trip which is all for charity. And this year's Mongol Rally, there was about a little under 300 teams from around the world driving to Mongolia. But the beautiful thing about this is that it's not in some big fancy, you know, 4x4 truck or something that would make sense, because the roads to Mongolia are absolutely atrocious. But instead, you had to do it in a very little car. And the reasoning behind that, they said, well, if you do in a 4x4 truck, it's just too easy. You need to have a little bit of adventure in life. So you should have a sort of a cheap little car that may break down constantly on the way, because then it forces you to interact with people, to deal with the situations, and in a sense test yourself as you go to Mongolia. But this is also under the whole guise of charity and the money that then can be raised for it.
Right. Do you leave the cars there afterwards?
We do. We do. The car is donated to the organization, which is then auctioned off to a variety of local causes and charities. So the money that's raised from the auction.
So what was your trip like this year? Where did you start and how long did it take you? And, you know, what was maybe the hardest stretch of the road?
The trip starts in Klatovy and ends in Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. But you can go any route that you wish, from as long as you eventually make it to Ulaanbaatar. And the whole trip takes about 1 month worth of time. But you're encouraged to take as much time as you want, because of the fact that though there might be 300 teams from around the world, that it is the idea of exploration.
So it's not important when you get there, but just to get there.
Absolutely. And the idea of the challenge of being able to try to make it and to see different parts of the route. And there are basically three routes that people do. One which is a northern route through Russia, which is sort of the easy route. And then you have a harder route, which is Turkey and through the Caspian Sea and Turkmenistan and Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan and back to Mongolia. And we took the medium route, which led us from the Czech lands to Slovakia to Ukraine, following the Black Sea, going up into Russia to visit Volgograd, and then cutting across Kazakhstan, back into Russia, where it would be a little bit of Siberia, and then popping to the western border of Mongolia, and the final last about 1,500 kilometers across Mongolia to the capital of Ulaanbaatar, which is almost in the center of the country.
It must have been a revelation. What stuck in your mind, for instance?
Well, I must say that the trip absolutely was epic, because of the fact that every time you crossed a border, you had no idea what to expect. So often you hear rumors, whether it is about, oh, you know, this is going to be dangerous here. You have to be careful that someone is going to rob you. And then you cross the border, and then you realize that, oh, that's actually not the case, that people were incredibly friendly. But it's the fear of the unknown that people were to have to their neighbors. One of the, I think the things that absolutely shocked me was the sheer size of Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is the ninth largest country in the world, and it, the population is quite limited. And also, no tourist goes to, especially like Western Kazakhstan. In the entire time that we were there, which took us about 9 days to cross the country, that we stumbled only across one foreign license plate through it. So therefore, you are approached by locals who are very curious about you. We had a little car with Czech plates on it, so therefore they were fascinated by the fact that, so what are you Czechs doing in Kazakhstan? Why are you coming to visit? And then we'd explain, oh, we're going off to Mongolia. I said, oh, really, Mongolia? That's so difficult. How will you ever make it? And they're like, well, we're not sure how we made it here, but we are proceeding along. And the same thing was then repeated for us when we crossed into Mongolia. When going from the Russian border into Mongolia, it was about a 27-hour wait at the border. It is a bit of chaos and bureaucracy, and you have this sort of frustration because you're waiting, you're looking at this gate that's sitting there at the border, waiting to be let go and let through. And all of a sudden, you drive, and the tarmac ends, and a sort of a dirt track begins, really literally at the border. And now you see this expanse of incredible beauty, which is Western Mongolia, through the mountains and then just through this vast scale.
Otto, what were you driving?
Oh, we were driving a little Renault Kangoo, which with a 1.2-liter engine. So it's a very small engine. And the car was from 2003, which we bought for a few thousand dollars. And we used that car because of the fact, well, one, we used the car because it was cheap. And two, it fulfilled the requirement that the engine had to be very small. And it, again, it was a really inappropriate vehicle because it's made for driving around the city making deliveries, not for for taking on what was the equivalent of about 7,000 kilometers of off-road driving, where we were driving on dirt tracks, through rivers, through sand traps, through really some of the very destroyed infrastructure that you would have in those parts of the world.
But it withstood all the hurdles and held out, did it?
A few pieces fell off along the way. Bits and bobs came, but you know, we had a few. We found the most useful thing was something called Gorilla Tape, which was a very thick type of duct tape and some wires, and we would begin to reattach the car as necessary as it began to fall apart. But one of the things that with Mongolia that was actually so incredible was the friendliness of the people, because you have a country which is the size of Western Europe and with a population of 3 million people, making it one of the least dense countries in the world. And so therefore, when you do come across somebody and you're driving, there's literally just one road across Mongolia that is, to use the word road is almost ridiculous. It's a dirt track across the country, and it goes about 1,500 kilometers. And there's not a single road sign, so you're really tested to try to figure out how to get from one place to another. We didn't have a GPS, we didn't have a compass, but we did have a map, and we had sort of this urgency to talk to locals. And of course, locals don't speak English, or don't speak Czech, they are speaking Mongolian. And now you must be able to communicate what it is that you want to do. I'm trying to get to this town. Okay, where am I? And it becomes, because of the fact that the population is so low, how helpful individuals are, that they really are trying to help you along. And should your car fall apart, they immediately come with a few tools and will help banging on your car and helping you to repair them. If you needed a place to stay, they would guide you to, you know, their local homes. I mean, it was something about this reliance on each other.
Was there a point where you thought, what in God's name have I got myself into, and wished you hadn't set out?
I would say there was only one point when fear really kicked in. And that was right after we crossed the Mongolian border. there was a fellow sitting with a motorcycle on the side of the road and who was flagging us down. And luckily, by chance, I recognized him from having done some research earlier that he was a bandit. He was somebody who would tell you that the road is broken ahead and lead you off the track, and then his gang would rob you. We recognized him, and we decided simply to just ignore his sort of calls to pull us over and just drive past him. And we could see that the road was blown out ahead of us, but we knew that, you know, there's got to be a way around it, which indeed there was. There was a way that we could wiggle there. What we did not expect was him to follow us. And then we didn't expect a little further down the road, there was another gentleman on a motorcycle who also began to follow us. And then a little further down the road, there were two other gentlemen sitting on motorcycles who began to follow us as well. And again, we're driving a little car. It doesn't go very fast. The roads are absolutely horrendous dirt roads. They have motorcycles, and they kept on following us, and trying to get us to stop. And we knew what their intention was. We finally just pushed the little car as fast as it could go. And again, we're driving down these roads. There are no road signs. You just are following a track, hopefully finding some area. And we found this road that went into the mountains, and we drove and drove and drove until it began to be completely dark, and the roads were so steep that we couldn't go any further. The car just couldn't go up the roads, and we managed to just tuck it behind a corner, behind some stones. And then quietly in the pitch dark, you know, we set up our tents and began. It was so frigid and cold, and we waited and hoped that we were not going to be surprised in the middle of the night, you know, with a knife or a gun or some nonsense like that. And luckily for us, when the next morning came, and it was this incredible sort of sensation as we looked over the valley of absolute silence, not a soul to be found, that we realized that we were on a spectacular mountain with this incredible view at about 3,500 meters. And it seemed so ridiculous, that fear that we had of being robbed. But I think the truth was that we had managed to get ourselves so incredibly lost that even the bandits were like, oh, forget it, we're not even going to go, just follow them.
If you were to advise a friend or someone to take part in this Mongol rally, what is it you would highlight? What is it that it gave you?
I would highlight the fact that it really is a challenge to one's physicality, that you are driving 12 to 15 hours a day. You're going over a distance of the equivalent of about 13,000, 14,000 kilometers. It's also something to build your mental stamina. We had three teammates in the car, myself, a colleague here from the States, and a friend from Prague. And it's also a test of patience. How do you put three individuals in a car for such a distance that they don't get on each other's nerves? How do you not want to sort of explode with fury when things go wrong? How to become very patient. As well, the opportunities to test your skills of negotiation. In Kazakhstan, you are constantly stopped by police looking for bribes. So how do you not constantly have to pay them? In what way, how do you just chit-chat with them instead of not be sort of robbed by them? How do you then figure out where to go? I think that it's the challenge to so many of your senses along. And what you come out of it is the opportunity to put your foot in places where generally tourists don't go to, and to see parts of the world that people don't go to, and have a better understanding of it. Being able to realize, as what I had said earlier, where that it was always that fear that people scared you, like, oh, you know, don't go to the Ukraine, you're going to be robbed. Oh, don't go to Kazakhstan, it can't be trusted. Oh my goodness, Mongolia, that's too maddening and wild and crazy. Well, it's not really true. There were things that where rumors begin to abound, and rather to see it with one's own eyes and to understand the way that the world is with one's own eyes.
Otto Ulch Jr. there on the line from New York, and I'm afraid his adventures in this year's Mongol Rally bring us to the end of today's program from Prague. You will find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Danielle Azarova saying thanks for listening and goodbye.